Welcome to Freedom Cast, a podcast dedicated to interviewing star icons and entrepreneurs who have encouraged others to become more healthy and active. My name is Ashton, and it's my pleasure to host you as we take another trip through the fitness industry. It's entertaining and informative, and I hope it makes fitness more exciting and special to you in your own fitness journey. Freedom Cast is supported by Freedom Fitness Equipment in Charlotte, North Carolina. Freedom Fitness Equipment serves the health and fitness community nationwide, from free weights and strength equipment for home gyms and studios to cardio and conditioning equipment for commercial spaces. Check them out at freedomfitnessequipment.com. Let's get rolling with today's show.
And we'll just dive right in. Thanks so much for being willing to come on. I wanted to have you on because I've been kind of stalking your content, saw you had some really good stuff to say in the fitness business. And then when Brandon Lonich mentioned you as someone to follow with in the fitness community, I was like, okay, she's the right girl. So I appreciate you coming on and talking to us. So this is Sabrina McMullen. She's a bodybuilder and MPC figure competitor and going for IFBB Pro Card and doing some killer work on TikTok. You've got over 300,000 followers on there. So you guys need to follow her on TikTok and on Instagram. I wanted to bring you on because I noticed the approach that you had to bodybuilding and also just fitness in general is kind of that no bullshit kind of approach to fitness. And I like having guests on that take that kind of approach because I want to ask them about their background and what kind of led them into that. But getting started, would you mind giving people a little bit of a sense of your story? I know you start out with some body dysmorphia, getting into bodybuilding. Would love to hear a little bit about that and what led you into becoming an MPC figure competitor.
Yeah, absolutely. So to make like a super long story short, just because there's like a lot of stages and phases to everything.
Yeah.
I first started off getting bullied as a kid. I had pre-staging thyroid cancer as a kid as well.
Oh, geez.
And you know, of course, like hearing that as a child, like that's going to scare you. Being bullied, that's going to impact me quite a bit, or my younger self. And then I started swimming for my high school swim team, eventually developed an eating disorder. And that was, you know, obviously my own fault, but of course the big influence would have been social media and like the bullying and this and that, and just all that pressure. And then I was bullied again for having an eating disorder, and that didn't go well. From there, I started falling in love with fitness. At some point I was going to go into the military, and then I was like, you know what, let me do that. But then I had switched gears later on, when I figured out I kind of fell in love with bodybuilding after I met my significant other, my freshman year of college. And kind of from there is when I really started getting into it and getting stronger. And, you know, I took a solid 5 years to kind of just build a foundation before I stepped on stage. And I guess that was my first show was actually last year.
Nice.
So this is my first national show, which is this year. So now we're all here in like the grand scheme of things.
That's phenomenal. Is this your full time, or do you have a job that's off to the side that's kind of funding all the bodybuilding and competition stuff?
So Project Buff, which is my brand name, that's also my corporation, is what I do full time.
Fantastic. And was that started at the same time that you were getting into the bodybuilding competition? So is this as of a couple of years ago, or has this been going for a lot longer than that?
Yeah. So Project Buff started, I would have to say, well, it officially was established as a corporation back in late 2020.
Okay.
Before that, it was kind of just like a side gig, but it didn't really go anywhere. I was also in college at the time, trying to finish out my degrees and, you know, trying to do my first bodybuilding show there. So there was a lot of time and effort put into that side of things. But after college, I was like, I don't want to work a job.
Yeah.
So as soon as I graduated, I started, I saw TikTok as an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what, let me like download it as a joke, like everyone did during COVID.
Yes.
And then it ended up being like, I don't know, just like one day I called some bullshit out and people were like, oh my God, we need more people to do this. And I'm like, looking in the fit talk or the fitness TikTok, and I'm
oh,
like,
God.
Wow, like nobody, you're right. Nobody is calling out this stuff, and it's so bad.
It's so bad.
I guess from there, it started growing and growing, and that grew Project Buff, and it kind of just, now it's this big corporation, and I'm blessed to say that I do that full time.
That's amazing. Just out of curiosity, what are some of the worst things you've seen on Fit Talk? What were some of the things you were calling out early on?
Very, very early on, it kind of just started with like basic stuff. Like a lot of the things I saw was just like, do this, these core exercises to target belly fat, get rid of your FUPA by doing like this HIIT workout or a circuit or this or that. And it was just like, I see so much of like the spot reducing fat, da, 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 da. And so it started off with that. And then next it was like lemon water. And then, people started like saying like, oh, she's going to call her shit out or call this shit out. Let me start tagging her and stuff. And then, the list goes on. So I got tagged in like diets that promoted eating disorders, such as like 1200 calorie diets. I've gotten tagged in 500 calorie diets. It's been really bad. Yeah. 500 calories was the worst one I've come across.
They have at that point, your body is literally shutting down. Who in their right mind is promoting that kind of crap?
So it's normally what it is. It's either younger women or just like adult women. Yeah. I've never seen a male promote a heavy eating. Not to say that there's not men that promote it. I mean, there's definitely both. Sure. But I usually see women promoting very, very low calorie diets like that. And it's not the sense that like, oh, it's an actual diet. It's like, this is what I eat in a day. Mm-hmm. This is what you can do to look like me type implication. And then when you put a what I eat in a day video out there, you can't not expect people to not be impressed by that and follow it because they don't know better, especially if like people have such a large platform. And this is something I preach on my page all the time. Like I will never post what I eat in a day videos that tell you what calories I'm eating, this or that. Cause people are like, oh, what's your prep diet? Nah. Like, you're eating out so fast. And I'm like, no. Like there is a reason why I do not post what I do on prep on my page or just what I do on off season. Cause if I'm eating like 2,700 calories and someone goes out and eats 2,700 calories, they're going to gain weight. Some of them, it might not be enough for that. It's just different, you know?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Bodybuilding is brutal. I actually just interviewed a IPB pro here in Charlotte. I think his name's Thomas Allen. And the mechanics behind training and prepping for a show and the amount of research and detail that they have to go into to actually prep for that is not a lot of people understand. Can you explain to people what it takes to become an IFBB pro, which you're on the way to, as well as why is it a masochistic tendency that you chose bodybuilding or did you like, as opposed to like powerlifting or something that might be a little bit easier? Huge kudos. I'm just saying like bodybuilding is super tough. So like, why bodybuilding over powerlifting, for example?
Yeah, so definitely bodybuilding because I like the mental toughness and stuff. I mean, I try to do powerlifting and then like, I just didn't like for me personally, I just didn't like, for some reason, I did not like performing for strength. I didn't. It was cool to be strong. I thought it was great, but I was like, I'm constantly practicing the same three movements over and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And then like also being tall, like there's some slight disadvantages that tall powerlifters have with like range of motion. And then from there, I was like also getting frustrated with myself that I should be stronger. And I was comparing myself to a lot of stronger people and this and that. And I was like, at one point I was like, you know what? Maybe powerlifting's not for me. Maybe let me try bodybuilding. And then I became obsessed with the creating the perfect physique, quote unquote, but knowing that it is physically impossible to achieve that. But I liked that. I liked creating the symmetry, the honing in on like the small details. Like it's just something I enjoy. And it's not like, oh, I want to look a certain way. I want to look better than this or that. It's just like, it's almost like an art piece. I think of my body as an art piece and like creating it, building it is an art piece. And I think the whole bodybuilding process in and of itself is somewhat of an art aside from a sport.
Sure. Absolutely. And you're competing, there's different categories within bodybuilding. So you're in the, can you explain what those are?
Yeah, absolutely. So there is bikini, there is wellness, which became a division in 2017. Mm-hmm. There is figure, which is what I'm currently in right now. There's physique, and then there's women open bodybuilding. And of course they have like fitness as well.
Okay.
So the biggest question I get is what's the difference between bikini and figure?
Yeah.
And then wellness, of course, because people know like, oh, physique, like women's bodybuilding, like those women are big.
Yeah.
And whatnot. Now, people have a bunch of confusions around bikini and wellness, especially in the bikini and figure. So bikini is normally the biggest division out of all of them. It's when a lot of women get into bodybuilding, they're going to get into bikini.
Okay.
Or most of them are, at least. So bikini is, it's very feminine. It's very sassy and outgoing with the posing. They're very focused on a nice X shape, a lean, defined look, but not too striated. They're focused on like nice round glutes, but not so much legs. And they used to be focused on legs, but now wellness came in, because wellness is essentially a very jacked bikini girl. You take the bikini girl and you put her on steroids and you have your wellness. Yeah. She's basically a Brazilian girl with a big ass and big legs, and she's got a tiny waist, and she's lean and defined as hell. And she's also got a very built upper body. So she's essentially a roided, what I like to call just a roided bikini girl.
Yep.
But they focus a lot more on the legs and the fullness. And now you're more striated and this and that. Also very sassy, a bunch of sex appeal to that. It's a cool division.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of respect for wellness girls, because it takes a lot to be super, have a super feminine figure,
yeah,
and be roided as well. Like that's a whole thing in and of itself. And then there's a figure, which there's still the femininity, but essentially you're too big for bikini, so you can't do bikini. You're very upper body heavy, and you're not lower body heavy and for wellness. So figure cake kind of came along in that sense. It's very focused on the V taper and the wide back and the narrow waist and just a favorable like inverted triangle type figure. The cap shoulders more striated, more conditioned. So that's essentially like a gist of the difference between those divisions there.
Is figure what Dana Lynn Bailey was competing in back in the day for the Olympia? Do you know?
I believe so. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Cause I remember she was talking about that. I just didn't remember which category it was. You mentioned, being Brazilian has its advantage. You said, or I think on your profile, are you from Venezuela or your folks from Venezuela?
Yeah. So my parents, my mother is from Venezuela. My father is white and I am half Venezuelan.
Yeah. Awesome. Folks coming over and got married over here, or have you gone back and forth at all?
So as far as like the government goes over there, it's not a safe country. So I haven't been since I was an infant. I have family there. I actually like physically just do not know. It's hard to get communication with them over there. There's a lot of like things and issues going on. So it's not safe for me to visit. But I do know some of my family from there. I wish I knew some of them more or I kept in more contact with them. I just simply can't with the way the government is over there.
Sure.
Essentially my mother immigrated from there. She was in New York going to school for art. And then my dad hopped off a boat from the Navy and was like there on like reserve for like a few days. And then they met at like some restaurant. And then, from there they got, they started dating, got married, had me.
Awesome. So, awesome.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about training philosophy, particularly with your training program. Are there anything that you do differently for the folks that you're training, and anything you do differently for yourself, as opposed to others who are in the bodybuilding space? You're jacked. And I think a lot of women really struggle with, at least the ones I've interviewed, and other trainers have said, I don't want to look like a man. I want to look bulky, blah, 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 blah. So I'm sure you have different approaches for different folks, and especially the mentality aspect, but like, explain a little bit about that and your philosophy.
Yeah. So as far as like, I used to believe that notion, right? I used to be in that headspace where I was like, oh, if I touch a weight, I'm going to get bulky. Hence why I had an eating disorder. Hence why I never lifted weights back then. And hence why I loved like being just skinny and fitting that beauty standard. Yeah. But then I realized, and I started doing some research. We as women, like you can't get bulky overnight. So it's not like a process that happens overnight. You can control it over time. It's also physically impossible to look manly per se. And I know manly is like subjective to each person, but like in the grand scheme of things, it's physically impossible because we literally just do not have the testosterone to do that. We do not have the hormones to create this manly look. Like you will not lose your femininity per se. And I always tell women this, especially ones that are just starting out or on my program, like, you don't have to look like me. This took me 6 years. This also took me like bodybuilding and like really, really trying to train for that. It also took me like utilizing my genetics to my advantage, and me like building my upper body for my division, etc. Like if I wanted to, I could do all legs all the time, never really touch my upper body, try and become a bikini girl, even though my genetic structure says like no. and then like keep the feminine and like maybe a more daintier look, but this is what I want. And I think strength and someone's physique is all subjective to them. So can we look manly as women in the grand scheme of things? Absolutely not. Not unless you start taking like roids at some point. If you're taking any type of anabolic, that is where you start now crossing the line into, okay, what is manly? But
yeah,
even then there's a lot of women who are on anabolics who still look very feminine, right? There's stuff yeah. you can take that can keep you feminine. There's stuff that you, and that's a whole nother topic, but like, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
So as far as like training, like structures go, I can essentially train a man and a woman on, like hypothetically on the same program.
Yep.
And they could see results in their own way. Because
okay,
yep. A lot of it's going to be due to diet, right? How lean they want to get, how much mass they want to build, etc. But also a well-rounded program is great. Like I have a split that equates to a lot of men's split. Now for a bikini, a wellness competitor, are they going to be training legs 3 times a week? Yes. Am I going to be doing that? Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. So I guess if you're in a separate division, yes, change up your structure and your workout regimen to fit that division or fit the physique you're going for. But there's nothing wrong with doing the same split as a man, because we can train the same as men. The only difference that keeps men and women separate is because usually women want nice legs. They want just this quote unquote tone. I hate that word. And defined yeah. look. And then men are like, no, I just want to get big and jacked and gain mass. And so like, you know, there's ways you can go about changing the structures like that. Goals can change workout structures, but being a man and a woman, if they have the same goals or like even slightly different goals, they just both want to get fit, you can put them on the same program.
Yeah. Talk to me about toning.
Oh, it's this word that came about. Don't know exactly when, but it was very like prevalent in like the 90s and yeah. the early 2000s. I mean, it's still prevalent now. It's used all the time. Toning is essential. When people think toning, just from like a perspective that's not very like science-based, they're like thinking like, oh, this very lean and defined look, right? I have muscle and the muscle's visible, but it's not too big. Mm-hmm. So it's essentially, when someone tells me they want to tone, essentially what they're talking about is they want to lose body fat and essentially put on a little bit of muscle or keep the muscle that they have, which is essentially body recomposition, right?
Right.
Now, toning in and of itself doesn't exist. You can't tone a muscle. The muscle right. either grows or shrinks or it maintains itself. Like there's no such thing as like toning the muscle. You can't make it stronger, yet more dense and smaller, or like all this other stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally understand. You mentioned steroids a little bit. Do you mind if we talk about that for a second?
No, I'm very open to it.
Awesome. Okay, great. So stance on steroids. Have you taken steroids? Have you seen other people taking steroids? What are the effects? What do you think?
Yeah. Okay. Let me see if I can go through that whole list. okay. Stance on steroids. I think before, when I was very closed-minded about it, mm-hmm. I did not quite understand it. Therefore, I followed the whole notion like, oh, if you're on anabolics, you're going to be manly and you're going to turn into a man and this is going to happen and it's going to screw you over for life and blah, 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 blah. I'm not condoning that anabolics are safe, especially not for the average person, right? Yeah. I think they're very widely accepted in bodybuilding, of course. But I'm saying this, if you want to take it for your sport, go for it. Who am I to judge you or judge someone else for taking anabolics or just stepping on steroids? Like that is A, your personal choice. B, like go for it. If you want to bodybuilding, you want to go far in bodybuilding. There is no way you're going to become pro and go beyond that without steroids. Unless you're a bikini competitor, I've seen bikini competitors go pro natural.
Oh,
but
wow.
They also have very superior genetics.
Oh, okay.
Like they have very good genetics. They've been working like for 8 years, 9 years to get their pro card, like because it would take that much longer. Whereas anabolics could help you with the process a little bit more.
Yep.
So I'm not against it whatsoever. There's definitely a science behind it. Do your research, like don't abuse it. Obviously, to a way to where you know maybe fuck yourself over, but mm-hmm. also at the same time in bodybuilding, like you especially the bigger women, they know the consequences of, and I wouldn't say consequences because they don't look at it as a consequence. I wouldn't either if I was into physique or women's open. Yep. They know that, you know, maybe they will start viralizing and developing male traits, and that's very probable. So, but they love the sport so much that like they choose to do that, and that's fine.
Okay.
Am I on anabolics? I actually just started taking Anavar this year. So this is my first year being on anabolics. I have built my physique naturally up until about 4 weeks ago.
Awesome.
So it's safe to say that the hard work that I put in, like everything you've seen on my Instagram, everything you've seen on my TikTok, my social media, I deem that as natural because I literally just started, like I'm like just now seeing effects from it. Essentially, this super small dosage of Anavar is going to help me maintain my muscle as I lean out. And of course, to become a figure pro, I cannot do it natural. I simply can't. In my division, there are women who are getting their pro cards at 35, 36, older because they're more dense. When you're a bikini competitor or possibly a wellness competitor, you can get your pro card at an earlier age.
Okay.
Because for bikini, they have a little bit less muscle. So that's very possible. They're not as dense. Figure pro women are, or women who go pro and figure are pretty dang dense. So even if you have really good, really, really good genetics, it's still quite a challenge, especially someone at my age, 23, to be able to go pro at 23 and figure. Yeah. I'm even lucky to step on that stage at 23. I'm about to step on the stage. And I'm about to get obliterated. Like, I'm not even going to lie. Like, this is going to be a very humbling experience. And I'm ready to get absolutely crushed by women who are in their 30s or 40s. Even the top three at my last show, which was a very small show. Number one was, she was 45 years old.
What?
Was 45. I was second, and I'm, you know, I was 22 then, now 23.
Yeah.
And then the third woman was 38. So massive difference in age. And it's simply because they have the muscle maturity that I do not. And figure, you're looking for more of that muscle maturity. And that's something that just at 23, even with a solid 5-year, almost 6-year foundation, that's something that's just working against me is A, my age, and then being 5'10" does not help. I'm not dense at 5'10". So when I lean out, my muscle bellies are very long, right? But I'm not as dense as these women who are both shorter and older.
Wow. So I thought there was a time window where as a male or female, like it's, I assumed it was 20 to 30, but you're telling me, so the older you get, the better you are going to be at those type of competitions and in bodybuilding.
Essentially. I mean, if you, it's not like to say like, oh, it's proven that like women in their 30s or whatever, like they're more suited for figure or this and that. It's just, if you look at it from just a muscle density perspective and the way the divisions are, a lot of younger women compete in bikini. And then if they get too big for bikini, they can progress to wellness and whatnot. Especially as an amateur. If you want to be in figure, you got to be prepared to you have to work your ass off to get big, but B, you're going to have to be prepared to wait a few years and be patient with the sport just because it's just a lot more dense of a division. And that's what the judges are really looking for. And then if you're upper body heavy, like, you know, there you go, like do figure. And then some people, like some women progress from figure, what I've seen, to physique. Yeah. So I've seen a lot of women progress from figure to physique. And then like you can go from there. You can switch divisions. You can go from figure to physique. You can go from bikini to wellness. Bikini to figure, maybe not if you're bottom. You know, it's just all dependent on your structure, your genetics, how big you want to get, etc.
Okay.
Yeah. So
within all of those categories, I know for the men, it's basically based on previous like winners of the Olympia, and they're comparing those bodies to the existing male bodies within each of those categories. Is it similar for women, or is there some sort of objective standard where you're saying this size, this striation is gonna win first in these divisions?
Yeah, so I think there's some objectives to it, but judges are judges and judges will always be biased. We're not being judged based off like heavy advanced technology computers that are telling you like, oh, you have this much body fat percentage, this scores you this much. You are, I don't know, like stuff like that. We're being judged by people, and people are gonna be unfortunately biased. And when you have judges that are on the panel, that have talked to competitors, or they maybe just like are looking, or like they sit down and like maybe like 1 year they're like looking for a figure girl who's a bit more full. Mm-hmm. Maybe 1 year they're looking for a figure girl who's like way more conditioned. They do use like the top Olympians or Mrs. Olympia, Mr. Olympia to help judge that. Hence why, side note, that I feel like men's physique is getting really, really big if you compare it to like previous years.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Like Brandon Hendrickson, like I personally know Brandon Hendrickson.
Nice.
And when I first met him, I didn't believe he was men's physique because he was just so big and he had such big legs. And then when I heard he was Mr. Olympia for men's physique, I was like, that's crazy. Because if you look at Mr. Olympia for men's physique or just any division, the Olympian winners, they look very, very different from now. Like now, like this sport, like the images are getting really, really big. So people are starting to argue like, okay, maybe we should bring in like a beach body, like division for men's or like that for women's. It's not, I don't think it's so much of a problem because they brought in wellness to kind of hope that variety, but it is good. It does change. I mean, the Bikini Pro like years and years ago looks nothing like Bikini Pros today. Like very, very different.
Interesting. In the men's division, are there fewer categories for bodybuilding than there are for women? It sounded like for women, there's, I think you rattled off five or six. For men, I think there's only three?
There's three main ones. And then I know there's like, and I'm not too educated on this, so of course, I hope someone corrects me if I'm wrong, but like, there, I believe there's like a heavyweight as well, like the 212 division or whatnot. Okay. But yeah, for men in NPC, the main three are men's physique, classic, and then bodybuilding.
Okay, gotcha. Going back to the steroid conversation, is there any of what are the differences in the impact of taking PEDs or anything you would take as a female as compared to how it would impact a male who's in bodybuilding?
Yeah, so I think the consequences aren't as promising for females just because like, as a man, like you're already producing these hormones that are found in like anabolics or maybe just something else to help further that, like you're already man. So there's no such thing as viralizing as a man on anabolics. Like you can't, you're already a man. So it's like, if you become manlier, quote unquote, like that's not a big deal. But as a woman, like we physically just do not have like male hormones like that. Mm-hmm. So we have to be extremely careful not to viralize. Like even me, it's like, if I were to take way too much Anavar, I would viralize or I would start developing male traits and like some side effects would be possibly, and it's different for each person, for each woman. But some develop acne or like enlarged like clit is one of them, which is a really big one and a common one. What else? Like deepening of the voice is one of them or stuff. It's just like stuff like that. And I think it's very easy for women to take steroids. And if you don't do your research on it and you don't know, then it's so easy to fuck up. I know so many women are like, oh yeah, I'm gonna hop on Anavar. Like I heard about it, you know, being like less potent than other steroids. Cool. And then they don't know what dosage to take. And then they buy like 50 microgram like pills or something like that, which is the max male dosage for an experienced shooter. And then they take it for 8 weeks and they're like, oh shit, why is my clit really big? And it's like, well, you didn't do your research. And that if you're taking a male dosage or what's recommended for experienced male users, of course you're going to viralize, you know? So like for women, like if you don't want to viralize, like I'm on 10 micrograms or is it milligrams or micrograms are probably the measurement. But I'm on 10, right? In oral form each day. And I take 5 in the morning, 5 at night. Right. And this is to help me out with prep. This is a very small advantage to my prep. It's great. Am I viralizing? No, like I'm not. And if I was, I would be seeing the effects by now. Yeah. And the reason I'm not is because I'm taking a safe dosage that is not going to allow me to viralize.
Sure.
But there's a lot of women, there's a lot of coaches who don't know better, who put their female clients on steroids. I see it happening. I'm not going to name names. I see it happening at my gym all the time. I've seen it happen at other gyms where I've seen coaches like say like, yeah, I'm going to put my female client who's doing wellness. Like, yeah, I'm putting her on 50 milligrams. And then I'm wondering like why her voice is deepening, or like why she's getting like puffy with the Anavar. And I'm like, and she's gaining weight really fast. I had to talk with this girl and she's like, oh yeah, coach has me on 50-50 a day. And I'm like, what? Like your coach, she was like supposedly experienced with clients, has you on this much? And of course they don't know better. It's their fault, but it's not their fault for doing the research. Like you trust your coach to give you the right stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And so if your coach is not educated on what to give you, how to give it to you, what to give you for post-cycle therapy if needed, etc., and that, and just the whole process, like you're gonna get royally fucked. So
yeah,
it's just, it's unfortunate.
No kidding. Yeah, you've got to be super careful with that stuff. And unfortunately, I feel like the regulations really tamping down on the amount of research that can come out about this. To so the crazy thing to me is that SARMs is so readily available, yet it's an animal application. And yet all of this test and HGH and Anavar and all this stuff is, oh, no, you can't have that. And it's doing, like in some cases, far less harm than somebody who's abusing SARMs. So I get really frustrated with the way that our government has chosen to treat those drug differences. But anyway, that's another topic for another day. you mentioned, was it Brendan Schaub, the bodybuilder that you met earlier? Or sorry.
I think that's someone you mentioned that had mentioned me maybe on a page. Brendan Hendrickson, you mean?
Brendan Hendrickson. I'm so sorry. Yes. So, Brendan Hendrickson, I was actually trying to interview him for a podcast at FitCon. I think he was one of the guests that was going to be there. That's awesome. So have you gotten to meet a lot of people like that within the bodybuilding space? And did you start that early on or?
Just a few. In fact, like it was just random, honestly. Like Brandon and I ended up like, so I was at like, I was actually at like a swimsuit, like modeling like show and whatnot. And so like, I didn't know he was Mr. Olympia at the time. And he was going around like meeting people. And one of my friends was like friends with him or knew him. And then he introduced himself to me. And then we spoke a little bit, I had a conversation with him. And then we had been following each other on social media since, and just keeping up with each other. Nice. But I mean, he's a really nice guy. But it was just kind of like stuff like that. Now, do I go around like meeting bodybuilders like that? No, like, I don't. I kind of stay within my little circle. I also don't purposely go out of my way to meet bodybuilders and whatnot. Okay. Cause I know they're like busy people and whatnot. So I kind of just admire from afar, but also at the same time, I have this notion where I don't like to compare myself. And I feel like if I look up to people as like an icon, I may fall into this, like, oh, I'm going to compare myself to these people. So believe it or not, when it comes to like, what's my idol or who's my idol in bodybuilding, none of them are women. They're all men. Oh, okay. And I don't really follow many pros I follow pros that I know, like personally, I follow like Olympians here, there when I see them on my explore page, but do I like actively follow them and look through their feed? I actually don't. I don't, which is really weird. But I instead kind of just use myself as like I don't want to get into the mindset where it's like I'm following this person and I really, really want to look like them and I want to emulate my life like them, because my life's my life, right?
Yeah.
So I appreciate the bodybuilders who are Olympians and this and that, but when it comes to like big names and this and that, there's not many that I know, because I don't keep up with them in that aspect. Yeah.
Sure. That sounds like a super healthy mindset that more people should probably take on, honestly. You know, not comparing yourself to everybody who's wherever they are. Yeah, you
can compare your chapter one to someone's chapter 10.
Yeah.
And like, I guess on the same token, like on TikTok, like I appreciate when people look up to me, but like when they start, and this is this goes back to the why I don't post what I eat in a day videos, why I don't post what I do on prep. I feel flattered that people want to emulate what I do in my life, or like they see my business growing at a very, very rapid rate. And they're like, how can I do that? Like exactly like you did. And I'm like, well, here's the thing. You don't want to do it exactly how I did. You want to do it how you do it. And you're going to grow at your own pace, doing your own thing and finding your own niche and creating your own brand. Mm-hmm. You don't want to emulate exactly what I do. Or I had this, you know, wonderful girl the other day. I'm very, very flattered, but she, I was like, I put up a story where I was like 80 minutes on my stairs done for like prep. Cause I was doing 80 minutes. Now I'm at 2 hours because I'm starting to get closer to show. Dang. Like a part of it. It's a lot. I don't even recommend it like at all. I would never do this outside of my prep. I would never, and neither with the 80 minutes, I would never do 80 minutes of stairs outside of my prep. And then I had this girl saying, and told me, she was like, anything's possible. And I did 80 minutes for the past 3 days. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, no, I'm flattered, but no, like, you don't want to do that. And then they're like, yeah. Like, and she was like, I'm also eating like 1600 calories. And I'm like, oh, and you're working out and you decided to do 80 minutes and try. And I was like, you see, and this is why, and I had to put a whole public post out there saying, look, I appreciate y'all wanting to do things that I do. And like, I believe that y'all can succeed in your own journeys, but what I am doing is literally in preparation for a national bodybuilding show. And I would never do this outside of that specific preparation.
Wow.
Like, I would never even recommend that to someone who's like trying to get lean for their wedding or trying to just whatever, slim down for the summer or whatever their goal is. Like, I would never, ever put any clients on 80 minutes of stairs. I would never tell people, hey, yeah, you need to do 80 minutes of stairs in order to look like this or create this type of progress or this or that. It's just like, it's so touchy when it comes to putting my stuff out there on social media, because audiences are impressionable. They're impressionable. So I always tell people, like, do things on your own time, like with your own schedule, your own growth. It's going to happen like within your own way. Like, I am me and you are you. So like, that's why I don't compare myself to other people, because I don't want to get into a mindset like, if I want to look like her, like I gotta do this, like knowing that that's not true, because you know, I know better. But like, it's kind of like a subconscious thing as well.
Totally get it. I want to touch on your training a little, the training and coaching program that you have for your clients here, and then we'll wrap up. But how are you balancing the schedule between bodybuilding, training, everything going on in your life?
Yeah, that's really funny. People ask me, they're like, oh my God, how do you time manage? So I don't have school anymore. Obviously, I got the degree, so we're good with that. Yeah. I was able to, as soon as I brushed that off my plate, I started going ham on TikTok, promoting myself, doing educational videos, got into my niche, got into my brand. I have a staff under me that helps me with daily activities.
Okay.
And this is going to sound like first world problems, but at some point, when you earn a certain amount of money, you gotta start buying your time back.
Yes.
It's a very delicate balance between time and money. At first it was like, money is the issue. Like, you focus on like the money, like creating my full-time job, because I didn't want to work. So I was like, I need to create a livable wage and income for myself. And once that was achieved, and I'm like, okay. And I'm very money driven, but like driven just by my passion and just like what I want to do in the world. And like, I just have like, I have a lot of ambition. So I'm like, okay, I want to do so much at this age and like build myself up as much as possible, see how far I can go. So I'm like, okay, now let's take my, let's set a goal for myself. Like, can I create a six figure business in this amount of time? And then I do it. And then I'm like, okay, on to the next thing. But then like, now I'm starting to get, I eventually got to the point to where I'm like, okay, now I have all this money in the business, but I'm running out of time.
Yeah.
And I need time. And especially when you're on prep, you're going to need lots of time.
Mm-hmm.
So now my days, I'm getting to the point where I'm automating stuff now. Okay. And I've hired other people under me to assist me with like systematic cleanups.
Cool.
Within my, like my coaching program, where like, if people are coming in the program, they initiate them and they put them in files. If like organization that I'm just not good at. I'm good at marketing myself. When it comes to keeping organized and like on, like specifically online within lists and spreadsheets, I can't. So I've hired someone to do that for me. And I essentially make them do like miscellaneous tasks for me as well. Cause like, so they basically assist me and like stuff with my business that like is logistical, like busy work that like, that would take me an extra hour or two a day that I just don't want to do. Yep. So I give that to them. So this allows me to take on more clients, right? But now I'm at the point where I'm like, I'm doing calls anywhere from like I'm doing like 8 to 14 people a day. So I'm like, my schedule is down to a T. Like I wake up at like 8 a.m. I do like one or two calls. I go, right now I'm doing my cardio for an hour for my prep. I do more calls. I go to the gym. I come back. I do more calls. And in between those calls, sometimes I'm making TikToks. And then it kind of like works like that. And I have it down to a T. And then like my work period for my clients is 8 p.m. to 1 a.m. So I have, and then I go to bed and I do it all over again. So now I'm like starting to automate calls. But that's what I mean. It's like, it's buying my time back. So I have an assistant. I have a financial assistant. I obviously have a CPA, which I need to go to like for taxes and stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm about to hire another person to help me out with more like daily tasks, including like cooking. I know this sounds weird, but like
after
budgeting, like a meal prep service business that sends you containers is far more expensive than if I were to hire a personal chef.
Yep.
So, and it's fresh. So I was like, okay, so now the next step is hiring a personal chef.
Awesome.
And like that, I can buy my time back that I would use to cook or meal prep.
Yep.
And that would be easy. So it's like, it becomes, and they can grocery shop for me too. So it's like, it's a matter of buying your time back now and automating things. How can I become more efficient and grow? How can I expand the avenues of the business, and then hire more people to take care of stuff for me? It's just this whole, like, it's this whole thing, but it is difficult to manage my time. I would have to say I did break down like back in March and April, like I had to take a break from social media. Like I pushed myself to an extent to where it was like affecting my mental health, especially when I was like transitioning out of my in-person personal training job. And I was still doing some of that, but on top of that, my business was growing ridiculously fast. And then I started doing like the time money ratio. And I was like, this doesn't make sense. I got to give up one. Right. It's like, yeah. I either sacrifice my business, some of my business to work in person for like a family friend, right, who's built me from the ground up when it came to just in-person training when I first got my certification, or like I sacrifice this just for the sake of that because I'm a people pleaser, or I give up that and I go all in on my business. Mm-hmm. But then this makes more sense for me, my business, right?
Yep.
Like I'm outgrowing this, I must transition to this. So that was a difficult decision, but an obvious decision at the end of the day financially. So it's like stuff like that, and like learning to transit, like manage my time in that way, and like learn that like maybe there's some things that I needed to let go back then that I probably should have let go earlier, but I just didn't, and I let that get to me, and like the whole mental health, and it just started like going downhill. So I know when to catch myself or when I'm like stressing out like that. Mm-hmm. So I have a bit of control over like how much I market myself, because the more I market myself on TikTok, the more applications I'm going to get. If I have a viral video, like I may get 200 applications in a day. And then, you know, from there, so like now I have someone going through the applications for me, which would take like two hours on a day that I have a viral video, or like, so buying my time back, that's how I'm starting to manage my time a bit better and creating efficient systems.
And you're 23.
I am. Yeah.
That is, so you are absolutely murdering it. Like, just real quick question. What was your degree coming out of college? Oh, sorry. Did you hear me?
No, you cut off for a little bit. So something about coming out of college.
No, what was your degree?
Can you hear me
when you graduated?
Hello.
Hey, you there? Yellow.
Can you hear me?
You're breaking up a little bit. Let me know if you can
hear
me.
We're cutting out. I'm there.
Okay, there we go.
I'm here.
What was your degree in college?
Kinesiology.
Kinesiology. Okay, so you didn't have a business background and you're absolutely murdered. You're doing all the right things as far as an outsourcing perspective. I'm super impressed. Anyway, where can people find you? Where can people find your website? Where do they go if they want to talk to you?
Yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Okay, so they can find me on TikTok at beefcake_Brina. That's like my nickname. I can be found on Instagram. My personal one is Sabrina Lina, L-I-N-A. Transformations, et cetera, for my business is at My Project Buff.
Okay.
And then, of course, if anyone wants to coach under me, I have links in all those social media platforms. That's how people can discover me then.
Awesome. Awesome. Sabrina, I'm going to let you go because I know you're pressed for time, but I really appreciate you coming on. You are absolutely killing it. You guys need to check her out. Need to check her out. TikTok, Instagram, her website. So thank you so much, Sabrina. Appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thank you. I hope you have a great day.
Hey, you too. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. Please give FreedomCast a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. It would mean a lot to our business. Plus, it's fun to read y'all's reviews. See you next time.